Tell me a bit about how you became a pianist.
My road was a little bit different from a lot of people. I started music on the drums and the trumpet, and I was 12 years old before I discovered the piano.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rather old, actually. but it seemed to work out just fine. I mean, from that point on, I dedicated pretty much all of my energies toward the piano, and I had a lot of great teachers along the way. I was very fortunate.
And to have access to somebody like Helmut Deutsch, with whom you studied accompaniment, I would assume. Am I right about that? Or
you are right about that, yeah. Helmut Deutsch was just tremendous, one of the great lead accompanists around today. And, yeah, I had the great fortune of studying with him for an artist diploma there at the Hochschule für Musik in Munich. And it was at that time a brand new program. I was in the first class of Helmut Deutsch for this particular artist diploma. And very fortunate. That was on the heels of my work with Eliso Virsaladze, one of the great Russian pedagogues. Actually, she's Georgian, but known in the Russian piano school. I've had a great fortune, you know, and it didn't hurt that I was born and raised in Indiana, where there are lots of great artists right there in Bloomington.
You're doing this for Iowa, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I was going to begin by just letting people sample the Edvard Grieg. There's a kind of special poetry to this music.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what drew me to the music, the poetry. And I just thoroughly love it. Of course, we've heard many of the pieces played by students. It happens to be rather usual student fare. But I thought the music deserved attention from me. I really appreciated the opportunity to record them all. And when the recording engineer, I mentioned that I was interested in the lyric pieces, and he said, "Well, if you do all of them, we have a deal." So that's how it worked out. All 66 pieces have been recorded, and I'm very pleased with it.
That worked out very well. Well, we're going to, at this point, turn to a sample of your playing. You suggested a few of the lesser frequently heard pieces. I picked one called Holling. Is that meet with your approval?
Oh, that's a lovely piece, yeah.
What does that title mean? What is this about?
Well, Holling is one of the characteristic Norwegian dances in two, and there are lots of two-step dances in Norway. And it's just one of the common genres and one that Grieg liked to compose for.
Well, here is Nicholas Roth playing Edvard Grieg's Holling, one of his lyric pieces, and after we hear it, we'll be talking some more with Nicholas Roth about his upcoming recital.
Thank you.
Nicholas Roth performing Halling, one of the lyric pieces of Edvard Grieg. And if it makes you want to hear the rest of them, you are in luck. He's recorded all of them and a Blue Griffin recording that is, for reasons you just heard, widely praised. Nicholas Roth performing next Monday, 7:30 at Cheslow Auditorium at Drake University. It's part of a series called Keys to Excellent. Nicholas, I think the last person to play was Francine Kay, and she actually came here and performed with Sarah Plum.
That's right, yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. The Keys to Excellence series is in its third season this year, and it's for the most part been my best friends who have been the guest artists for this. Keys to Excellence is also the title of the piano campaign we're conducting at Drake. We're in the process of raising funds to replace many of our pianos with brand new Yamaha instruments.
You are a Yamaha artist, I should mention.
Exactly. So I thought that the piano series would be a nice way to sort of put the campaign in the public eye. And it's sort of taken on its own little life since then. As I say, we're in our third season and had some fantastic artists. You mentioned Francine. Anthony Molinaro from Chicago, Robert Satterley, from Bowling Green. Many, many wonderful performers have been here. Asaf Zohar from the Reuben Academy in Jerusalem, right, in Israel.
Oh, tremendous.
So they come from all over the world. And this year's series is also, rather full of celebrated artists. So I'm very pleased.
You played the trumpet, and you worked with singers like Cheryl Studer, one of the great singers of our time. As you're working with people who are playing these instruments, and as you play a solo piece, you've had the experience of kind of breathing through a phrase. And I hear that in your playing on the piano. Is that something you think about?
Absolutely. I think that breathing is something that's very important to think of when you're playing solo pieces. Certainly when you're collaborating with other people, you need to have that in mind. And I should say, collaborating is a good way to develop that. And then if you really take to it, as I did, you pursue it on an even higher level. I mean, working with Helmut Deutsch certainly developed that in me a lot, too.
Yeah,
but I think collaboration's really important.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Let's look ahead now to your recital. You're playing music of Liszt and Rachmaninoff and also Taneyev. Now, you've recorded some of this music. I have a track by Taneyev queued up. Maybe you could tell us about this fugue.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Taneyev is, you'll find as you look at any aspect of Russian pianism that everyone is related somehow or another, And Taneyev and Rachmaninoff have a strong connection. I'm starting with Taneyev, finishing with Rachmaninoff. Taneyev, who must have been an amazing pianist, received the gold medal from the Moscow Conservatory the same year that Rachmaninoff received the third. And Rachmaninoff, as you know, is one of the greatest pianists in the history of the instrument, and taking third prize to someone else. And eventually, at one point, Rachmaninoff studied counterpoint and theory with Taneyev. This, I believe, is Taneyev's only piano work with an opus number, opus 29, and a very complex fugue indeed. It doesn't remain in any key area for any length of time. It's constantly, one of my Russian friends says, it's sliding from one key to another rather constantly. So you have to really keep close tabs on your tonality, because it's the most chromatic piece, you'll see.
Yeah, so a fugue from Romantic Russia by a man who taught counterpoint to Rachmaninoff, Sergei Taneyev, Nicholas Roth, the pianist. Thank you. that was wild. Nicholas Roth playing A Fugue by Sergei Taneyev, which will be on his concert program next Monday at 7:30. You know, Nicholas, as I was listening, I was thinking, if I had just tuned in, I would have no idea what I was listening to, who the composer was.
Right. Yeah, I think that, high chromaticism, high level of chromaticism leads to that.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you're dealing with.
I mean, I thought it's sort of like
I love the ironic ending there, that ironic ending, just sort of a...
Tremendous. Ending. And I also was admiring how both Taneyev and you turned it into very appealing musical sounds at the same time that this wildness was going on. It's quite an achievement. So that's actually on the program you're playing next Monday at 7:30.
Right on. Yeah, I look forward. That's how I'm starting the program. Yeah,
wow.
Prelude and Fugue. Get that far, though.
Nicholas Roth, thanks so much for joining us in our Des Moines studio, and we'll look forward to having you on Iowa Public Radio in the future again.
Thank you so much, Barney.